Like to call to order the regularly scheduled meeting of the Madison Plains Board of Education. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Here.
Mrs. Anikus?
Here.
Ms. Reinchel?
Here.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Here.
Mr. Gensel?
Here.
Mr. Eisler and I are also here.
Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Mr. President, we have some members of the girls' powerlifting team who are going to lead us in the pledge this evening.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Anybody signed up? Jared Gary?
Thank you. Can you guys hear me okay like this, or do I need to hold the microphone up?
The mic's your Facebook.
Okay, so yes?
Yes.
Okay, got it. Good evening, board members. My name is Jared Gary, and I am a member of the Levy Committee. More importantly, I am a parent of a 6th and 2nd grader here at Madison Plains. I am also an MP graduate from the class of 2003. My purpose for being here tonight is to update the board on the Levy Committee's progress to date and also request support from the board members as we enter our final push. As you are all certainly aware, the election is 2 weeks from today. But first, I want to share our Levy Committee's mantra, which is the time is now and the need is real. The time is now. There is never a great time to ask for a tax. 3 years ago, we had COVID. This past year has created fears from inflation and conflicts overseas. What we do know is the cost of new buildings is never going to get cheaper. The time is now. The need is real. This is my children's first year at MP. Let me tell you, it was quite a shock to our system when we were taken on a tour of the facilities last summer. Keep in mind, this was the first time that we had been in the intermediate building in nearly 25 years. We could not believe that nearly 50% of our students were learning in trailers. However, when we walked the halls, my wife and I felt incredible energy and positivity coming from those classrooms. It was the first thing we talked about when we left the school that day. Voters have been kicking this can down the road for decades. I remember my youngest brother's excitement in 2009 when he realized that if that bond issue had passed, his class would have been the first class to graduate in the new building. Our school district residents voted down that new school. My family recently lived in a neighboring rural district just like this one that passed a bond just like this one and built newer, safer schools, and every single child at MP deserves a say. The need is real, why not us? As for the board update, our committee has visited nearly every township public meeting, and the support from our elected officials has been overwhelmingly positive. Committee members have spoken at 2 village council meetings. We have gone door to door in 3 of the district's villages to spread the word about the bond issue and answer any questions the residents have had. We have organized postcard signings and sent mailers. We have passed out flyers at busy intersections. We have been to nearly every local community event to speak with the public. We are planning to mail one final informational sheet to every district home. That will happen very soon. As far as what our committee needs from this board, a week from tonight, we are opening up the intermediate building and modular building to the general public. And we are opening that up so that any voter, member of the public that would like to come in and speak with some of our facility staff and see the issues for themselves, see how real the need is, they can come in here and they can do that. What I would like to see is the board members be present as well, so that if members of the public do show up, you guys can be here to answer those questions direct to them. So that's my need and my ask from you guys right now. This concludes what I have to share with the board. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate that update. All right. So now I'll move to Section C, Student Recognition.
Mr. President, I would like to call to the front of the seating area, the girls' powerlifting team. Our girls' powerlifting team, for the second time in school history, has won a state championship in powerlifting, and so they have done that here this year in the spring of 2023. That is no small feat that they have accomplished, and we are very, very proud of them. So I want to say congratulations to all of our girls powerlifters. I don't think we have everybody here tonight because we have a number of them who are running track and playing softball and doing a number of other things, but this was the group who was able to be here tonight. So thank you for being here. We are very proud. Please extend that to your teammates as well. And I believe we have, there are two leaders here tonight. We have Coach Mike Siders and Coach Paul Bryant. Mr. Siders, is there anything that you or Coach Bryant would like to say?
Yes, sir.
Sure, I'll be brief. I'll talk a little bit about some of the history of powerlifting in general. A lot of people don't know the history of the sport, and talk a little bit about what Massive Plains has done, and Coach Siders will talk about his classroom and how that ties into it, and how our individual state champions and all of that. Powerlifting isn't your traditional sport that people know from a long time ago. It's been going on more years than people know. But the size of it is actually, it's bigger than quite a few of the recognized sports as far as OHSAA as compared to club sports. This year alone, in Division 5, 6, 7, there were over 600 lifters and close to 100 teams involved in it. We actually had to run two full meets in the Division 5, 6, 7 because you couldn't get every lifter in the first time, so it was a 16-hour day actually almost. We left at 6 in the morning, got home close to midnight. So this year's girls powerlifting team, their total, that where you take the best overall lift and the squat, bench, and deadlift, and you add that together, and you get four girls from your lightweight division, four girls from your heavyweight division that count towards the championship. Our girls total this year, 5,815 pounds, also including Division 1 through 4, everything, is the highest total ever of any school in the state history. So that's pretty cool. That's a neat thing. I looked that up, and the highest total before this year of any team had ever been 5,600 pounds. Like I said, we beat that by close to 200 pounds. Also, what's exciting for the future of Madison Plains girls and boys is if you took our girls that were just underclassmen this year and took their total, we still would have won the state championship. So the future's still bright, and we haven't emptied the cover by any stretch. So I just want to say how excited I am to be able to be involved in a program like this and have been for a while, and also how proud I am of these girls and what they've accomplished. Thank you for allowing me to have the opportunity to say that.
I'm just going to add on here, Coach Siders. I just want to thank the parents, the board, the administration, coaches of Madison Plains, teachers of Madison Plains, and the students of Madison Plains for allowing this to happen. It's a very humbling experience. What is going on? This program is known statewide. When these kids walk into an arena, they're known statewide. It's not just, hey, look at that team. It's, hey, here comes the green and gold. The green and gold has to be dealt with, whether if it's guys or girls. It is a very fun experience. And some of our former board members have experienced that situation, and our parents are experiencing that situation as well. The parents are super supportive. Absolutely. They bring snacks, they bring juices, they bring Gatorade, they bring water. They make sure these kids are taken care of. At the end of the day, it's not about me, it's not about Coach Bryant. This is about Madison Plains students. Madison Plains athletes are at the top at the state level. It's in powerlifting. There's room for everybody to be at the state level at Madison Plains. Question. I get the question all the time, is there a formula? My answer is yes. The formula is yes. The formula, it takes a community to win a championship. I've said that many, many times, and these girls, these young ladies, they hear. Our kids are from all programs, all right? They're from all the athletic programs. They're not just powerlifters. We got cheerleaders, we got basketball players, we got wrestlers. We have just kids who powerlift. We got kids who just lift weights, all right? Football players and so forth. It takes a community to win a championship. I would like to introduce the 2023 Ohio High School State Individual weight class championships, and we have one here tonight. Addie Hall, please step forward. She won the individual state championship in her weight class. And Mackenzie Reeves is out there on the pitcher's mound right now, faced at Mechanicsburg, and she won her individual weight class as well. Now I'd like to introduce the 2023 Ohio High School Girls Division 5, 6, and 7 state champions, Madison Plains Golden Eagles. This is the second state championship in within 4 years in the school history. The championship, Madison Plains has worked hard, honored. These are very giving kids. These are kids and students that work, and the parents from other schools and the coaches from other schools always come in to how our kids act. They're very rewarding to be around, and it helps me, and I know it helps Coach Bryant, to continue to stay home, because it's an honor to be able to coach these kids in the sport of powerlifting. Right now, there's three state championships. That includes our boys' 2019 state championship as well. Madison Plains has a total of three, like I just said. All right, with further ado, the girls are the honor of tonight, and I appreciate every single one of them. Not everybody's here. Like, we have 22 girls total on the championship team. Thank you very much for your time.
I would just like to echo what Coach Siders and Coach Bryant said, and well done, ladies. Very impressive. Keep up the great work. And Coach Siders and Coach Bryant, thank you very much for your dedication as well. It doesn't happen without you either. So, thank you.
Is there more student recognition?
There is. Mr. President, at this time, I would like to call Molly Fay up to the podium. Molly is our April Rotary Club Student of the Month for Madison Plains High School. And so Molly has built a very impressive record while she's been at MPHS. And so we'd just like to read a little bit about Molly. The London Rotary Club is pleased to honor senior student Molly Fay as a Student of the Month for Madison Plains High School for the month of April. Students are selected by the MPHS administration based upon the following criteria: academic and extracurricular achievement and positive character. Molly has a 4.067 grade point average, and she is currently ranked 7th in her class. Her favorite courses are CCP American History and Anatomy. Molly has been in the marching band for 4 years and has served as squad leader for the flutes. She has also been in concert band for 4 years and jazz band for 1 year. Molly has been in drama club for 3 years, playing the roles of Malin in Steel Magnolias and Lucy in You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. She has been a member of Key Club for 2 years and is currently serving as Vice Secretary. Molly has also been in Quick Recall for 3 years and Spanish and Chess Club, each for 1 year. Molly was asked which Madison Plains staff member inspires her, and Molly said, "The teacher who inspires me the most is anatomy teacher, Miss Niece. She is passionate about teaching and finds many creative ways to make class interesting and fun. Additionally, she cares deeply about us and supports our ambitions. Her support encourages me to learn more and to be a better person." Regarding Molly, Miss Niece said, "Molly is an absolute dream. I appreciate the fact that I inspire her because the truth is, she inspires me in so many ways. Of course, Molly is a standout student, but she also possesses an aura of goodness that permeates into the halls of Madison Plains. For as long as I have known her, she has consistently been a student poised with kindness and empathy. I am sad that her time at MP is coming to a close, but I cannot wait to watch the next chapter of her life unfold. I know I am looking forward to her first publication to come across my desk. Bravo, Molly." After graduation, Molly plans to attend college and major in political science and minor, or double major, in communication. Molly is the daughter of Tim and Patrice Fay. And Molly, we do have a certificate here for you. Before I bring that over to you, it has been an absolute joy to be able to watch you in the school plays. It's been a joy to be able to see you do all the great things that you do. But I know I've had the pleasure of being able to see her. Remember, Steel Magnolias is a wonderful movie. And I really like that one. May have seen it a time or two at home. Molly did just such an amazing job with the role of Malin. It was absolutely incredible. And she did a great job this spring too as Lucy, and you're a good man, Charlie Brown. And the drama club will of course go on, but it will not be the same without Molly Faye. So, nor will MPHS. So,
yeah.
Well done, Molly. We're very proud of you. Congratulations. Keep up the good work, and we wish you the best in all of your future endeavors.
Now move to Section D, Employee Recognition.
Mr. President, I regret to say we do not have any employee recognition this evening.
All right, so now we'll move to Section E, Board Work Session. Anybody have anything? What time did he say is the tour of the school next week?
I don't believe he said.
I think it's going to be at 6.
6? 6 o'clock.
Yep.
6 o'clock next Tuesday. Do you know where we'd meet at?
Here, somewhere in the intermediate building.
At the intermediate. Cool.
I think it might, and I certainly understand and agree with Mr. Gary that it would be very nice to have a strong show of support from the board. I do want to remind everyone that we might be limited to 2 in an environment like that, because if we have 3, it constitutes a quorum, and that constitutes a meeting. So unfortunately, we might be limited to 2, but these are the rules the school districts have to work by. So, but if 2 of you would be available on Tuesday, that would be wonderful. So,
does anybody know if they're available? Just I'll walk through that.
I can be. I'm being in Columbus right now.
I can.
Okay.
They'll be very good. Thank you, Mr. Sunrock. Thank you, Mrs. Renchell. So. And Mr. Garrett and I will be here, of course. I don't want to speak for Mr. Mustaine, but there will be other school staff here as well to speak to the buildings as well. So
now move to approval of board minutes.
Mr. President, I make the motion that the minutes of the March 21st, 2023 regular meeting be approved as written.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Steinrock?
Yes.
Mr. Yensel?
Stand.
Ms. Reinschild?
Stand.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 3-0.
So now move to Section G, Department Reports.
Catching up here. Mr. President, we have with us tonight for our department report, we have with us the department that's being represented tonight would be Student Services. And so we have tonight with us our counselor from Ohio Guidestone. Ohio Guidestone is a company that we have partnered with here this spring to provide mental health services to our students. Mr. John Moan is going to present to us this evening, and he is here as well with Ms. Casey Bish. And Casey is the regional director for Ohio Guidestone. And so they are here to present to us tonight a little bit about what it is that they are doing. They are providing a very important service to us. We are very, very pleased to be able to have them with us. I am hoping that it will be the beginning of a partnership that will last for a while. I have asked Mr. Moan and Ms. Bish to come and speak tonight, and so they are here to do that. And so at this time, I will turn the floor over to Mr. John Moan, and once we get the technology going here.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm sorry. You'll have to bear with me. I can't find my notes on here with the current schema, so we'll just make it go. The thing I quasi-photographed. Mr. President and esteemed members of the board, Mr. Eisler, thank you very much for your invitation to speak to you about the services, the vital services that Ohio Guidestone is providing to the students of Madison Plains Local Schools. My name is John Moen, as Mr. Eisler introduced me. I am a chemical dependency counselor and mental health counselor with Ohio Guidestone, and I am accompanied by our regional director, Mrs. Casey Bish. I'm also recovering from laryngitis, so can you hear me okay?
Yes.
So I draw your attention to the board, and if the presentation is also here, wherever it may be. So first and foremost, who is Ohio Guidestone? I'm sure that you have heard many, many pieces of who Ohio Guidestone is as a service provider here within Madison County. But as a statewide agency, Ohio Guidestone is the leader in community behavioral health care, trauma-informed, evidence-based, and equity-centered care. We are the care provider. We are committed to providing timely access to person-centered care. You can see that those counties that are highlighted in green are all counties that have a significant presence of Ohio Guidestone in some way, shape, or form. Who are we and what do we stand for? Our primary mission is to provide pathways for growth, achievement, and lifelong success. We do this through our vision to future generations to educate self-reliant and contributing members of strong communities. And our motto is, we heal the heart, soothe the soul, engage the spirit, and expand the mind. Just a piece of interesting background, Ohio Guidestone was founded in 1864 as the German Methodist Orphan Asylum with the explicit purpose of taking care of children whose fathers had died in the Civil War. We continue to do that in a far-reaching way. Our campus, the original campus, still exists in Berea. It is adjacent to Baldwin Wallace College. We have expanded that campus to what almost looks like a university. If you drive down, you can't really distinguish between Baldwin Wallace and Ohio Guidestone's main campus. It really is quite wonderful. So you have invited us to be part of your community, and we are very grateful for that. Among the partnerships that we have with our communities, we are proud of our advocacy in the center of that screen above the Institute of Family and Community Impact is a colleague of mine who actually was my educator whenever I was in middle school. That is Jody Salvo. She is the leading prevention provider in the state of Ohio. She is testifying, I believe in that picture, to the state Senate. She has talked extensively about prevention services in public schools. She founded a program called Taking It to the Schools that wound up challenging and passing up DARE. So I'm from Tuscarawas County, and we do not have a DARE program in Tuscarawas County because the Taking It to the Schools program was so successful. The recidivism rate in juveniles and juvenile incarcerations decreased significantly. The rate of juveniles that were using drugs and alcohol in the underage decreased significantly, and that's quite a feat on Tuscarawas County, which runs parallel to I-77, known in the drug community as Heroin Highway. So she really has been a shining star for Ohio Guidestone. Ohio Guidestone partners with many universities, particularly of interest here in Central Ohio, is our partnership with Ohio State to provide interns to be able to come out to our programs and work with children, providing them with the most cutting-edge, evidence-based counseling, interventions, prevention that is coming directly off of the textbooks. We've seen a huge success. And I've been fortunate enough in Madison County to work with 5 interns already in the 2 years that I've been here in the county, and we've provided a great deal of services. We have our own Institute, the Institute of Family and Community Impact. This institute is a research institute. It's spearheaded by our clinical director, Dr. Benjamin Kearney, out of our campus in Berea. And we use, you know, this institute is what we use to make all of our interventions evidence-based. The interventions that we've published intervention manuals, those manuals are evidence-based manuals from data that we've been able to have our own from this Institute of Family and Community Impact, and also nationally published as well. So that is pretty fantastic from such a small agency. But ultimately, you'll see in the lower right of the screen, we exist to fill the gaps. There is a huge disparity in healthcare between the private healthcare sector and public healthcare sector. The student body here in Madison Plains, a majority of them are on free and reduced lunches, which we can then deduct that they are covered by Medicaid. So they need services that they would not be otherwise able to be provided through private insurance. Ohio Guidestone bills Medicaid to provide those services to those students and their families. What are some of the services we have here in Central Ohio? We offer mental health counseling, substance use disorder treatment, early childhood mental health services, psychiatric care. We have a team of nurse practitioners that see our patients in person and via telehealth to provide them with psychiatric care for a variety of mental health disorders, such as ADHD, major depression, anxiety, so on and so forth. We partner with the local courts to provide medication-assisted treatment to those who are struggling with the scourge of drug abuse. These include drugs like Suboxone, Sublocade, Revia, Subutex, Vivitrol. These would not be, that would not be a service that would be provided in the school, but that is just a kind of an overview of some of the services that we provide. There is a youth residential treatment facility in Berea. We offer foster care through our Berea campus, workforce development training, job coaching, and the like. And the services are offered in the home, in our offices. The closest office would be the downtown office on Grant Avenue. We have an office in Marion, which is where Casey is based out of. We offer telehealth in the wake of the pandemic. The governor has allowed for us to offer telehealth through secure telehealth softwares and media to provide counseling to children. So actually, Meredith and I had a meeting today with regard to a student who is having some issues with truancy and mental health issues that the child is not able to come to school. This is great for this child. The child is going to be able to receive the care that he needs to be treated for the issues that are causing his truancy. So because of telehealth, we're able to get this kid back into school. We also provide these services in the community. It may not be so uncommon to see some of our counselors visiting with our patients informally in coffee shops or, you know, throughout the community to bridge that gap and bring that health care that they need. We also go to jails and correctional facilities. Just to give you a snapshot of what the current referral time looks like in Madison County proper, for a child that it would be recommended for psychiatry, they would be about a 1 week wait. So that in comparison to other providers, that's about four times less the wait than other providers. We are about 2 to 3 weeks out for assessments, 3 to 5 weeks for outpatient counseling to begin, but most importantly, any child that receives services within the school has no wait. They have completely torn down the barriers that they have for access to service by having the service providers within the school. The child gets services right away, immediately. Oh, I pressed the wrong button. Okay, where are we providing services here in Madison County? We currently provide services in two districts, Jefferson Local and here in Madison Plains. We partner with our school nurses through the Madison County Public Health Department. We partner with the Madison County County Department of Job and Family Services, particularly the Child Protective Services Division. We work very closely with them, providing services to children and families both. We work with the Madison County Juvenile Court Services, particularly with the diversion program, to provide students with vital services that they need to keep them out of the courts, so that we are catching them before it gets to the point where they could become criminals or be charged with criminal offense. And the Madison County Children and Family First Council, which is the logo of the children jumping towards the sun up at the top. We work pretty closely with them as well. And that is more of a wraparound care service for families who are underserved, underprivileged, below the poverty line, that need, you know, access to maybe SNAP benefits or food stamps, you know, clothing, housing, those kinds of things. Just a basic look at Ohio Guidestones' growth in providing school-based services. We are providing services in 2023 up to the second quarter, the second fiscal quarter, 327 schools. That's poised for a major, almost 50% growth between 2022 and 2023. And part of that, I would say, is also in the wake of the pandemic. There's been a great awareness of the need for mental health services, particularly in the schools and in the community at large. To give you some raw data and raw numbers, in Central Ohio, we're serving 42 elementary schools, 25 middle and intermediate schools, 21 high schools, 3 preschools, for a total school served of 91, a total enrollment, that's each individual mind that we are working with, of almost 50,000. And that's, we're able to do that because of the partnerships that we're able to develop with boards of education like you guys. And so if it weren't for your inviting us in, we would not be able to do this. And so that's a thank you to you as well. We've partnered in Central Ohio with 14 school districts and 79 schools total. We're serving children from pre-kindergarten through high school. Ohio Guidestone stands out because we tailor the services to the needs of each district. The district is able to work with the providers to get the services that they need, as opposed to the providers just handing you a menu and saying, you know, pick your appetizer, entree, and dessert, right? You're able to make this program what you think and what you believe it needs to be, because you guys have the pulse on the community at large. And we blend our services in school and home. So children who are receiving services here at school are able to receive services at home as well, and vice versa. Here's a snapshot of the districts that we are serving. The newest addition is Madison Plains Local Schools there at the bottom. Now, what does Ohio Guidestone look like within the current framework and fabric of Madison Plains as a district? Madison Plains is set apart in my mind because it is one of the only districts that I know of in Madison County that has an existing MTSS framework, multi-tiered support system. Those three tiers that you see on that pyramid are the three tiers of the support system. Ohio Guidestone sits at that green tier. Ohio Guidestone school-based tier 3 model includes prevention, consultation, treatment service, and treatment services to address behavioral health needs for students, families, staff, and the district at large. So our services increase students' social emotional learning and set them on a path to lifelong success. All of these services that we're providing are within the framework of the PBIS and SEL requirements that the state has for the district. So it's really a seamless integration because of the framework and the foundation that you guys have already laid. We do not have, we are currently not providing prevention services here in the school district, but prevention services will or can address the entire school, a particular grade level, at-risk students, and or students with developing behavioral health concerns. For example, students that may be identified as having vaping problems, those students can work with Ohio Guidestone curriculum-based, evidence-based programs to provide them with the prevention and education they need to stop vaping, or if we identify in that process that vaping is actually an addiction, then we are able to connect them directly with addiction counseling services through the framework that has already been provided. Ohio Guidestone is trained to provide many different evidence-based prevention and social-emotional learning curricula, including mental health prevention, substance use prevention, violence prevention, resiliency and skill-building programs, and suicide prevention programming. The current services that we are providing here in the district are consultation services, and those include individual students, classroom observation, teacher consultation, and crisis intervention services. Individual student consultation services are 4 to 6 sessions, varying in length, wherein we identify the main concerns that the student has. Consultation is not treatment. Consultation is identifying the needs that the student has and connecting them with treatment. We can also provide teacher consultation and classroom observation, wherein the mental health professional observes a particular student and or classroom at large and provides them with feedback based on the behaviors that are seen within the classroom. And then the most, this I would say this is the most important of all the services, are the overall treatment services. Those include therapy and behavioral health support services for students that need additional services beyond prevention and consultation. Right now, I'm identifying the students that need assistance. I'm not able to provide them with the ongoing treatment that they need if they unless we're able to connect them with a service provider. Now, students who have Medicaid, I can refer them to Ohio Guidestone as a regular client, as we would anybody from the street, and then they would go through the waitlist process and then be connected. If a child does not have Medicaid currently, I cannot provide them with ongoing treatment services. They'll have to be connected with somebody, an outside private practice, and then they would bill their private insurance. Unfortunately, private insurance does not, they will not pay for services rendered in the school building. The services have to be rendered either via telehealth or in the office. So our motto is where new paths begin. So what are some new paths that we're beginning at Ohio Guidestone? Ohio Guidestone recently broke ground for our Starlight Center in Lancaster. In Lancaster, that is a residential treatment facility for those who are struggling with addiction and need intensive services, counseling and treatment services, a mental health urgent care. It's a novel idea. I would have never thought when I went into this profession that we would be talking about a mental health urgent care. But we've, on a national level, we've have 988 now. So that's the new crisis hotline. So I'm like 911, except it's 988. It'll connect you anywhere across the United States with a mental health professional to provide you with crisis intervention services and get you connected with a local hospital or a local crisis response team. So this would be part of that framework, the 988 framework. And then early intervention focuses, identifying young children in preschool and prior to preschool age, assisting their parents in skills building, connecting them with the services that they need. I invite you to go to ohioguidestone.org, where you will find a laundry list of facts and tidbits about our agency. and the we feature the nine, our that's our Facebook Facebook page, 988 is mentioned right there. So that was very recent. And then I will turn it over to Casey Bish, out of strain for my voice, but also she can answer questions better than I can. I'm just the boots on the ground. So if you have any questions, please.
Hi, thank you for having us. I think the biggest thing to mention is that we treat the kiddos as people, right? So they are a product of their environment, and they have an entire support system at their fingertips. And so we like to use that support system. We meet with their families, we meet with their friends, their, you know, mentors, the people that are in their world, to try and kind of complete the circle and make sure that they're supported on all fronts. So that's kind of what sets Ohio Guide Stood apart, is that we don't treat the child as a singular unit. We treat them as part of the puzzle, and we want to be able to be a support and an education for everybody that's involved with them. So like he said, we fill the gaps, and we try to be as innovative as we can. So if there are things that you feel are needed in your area, please let us know. If we can figure out a way to provide the services, we will. So do you have any questions?
Not really a question, but just, is there things the board can do? We obviously want to provide services to our kids and
right.
whatever we can do. So I guess communicate with us, our leadership, board supportive. I think it's fairly safe to speak for everybody and whatever services we can provide our students. So just look for ways that the district can team with you.
Perfect. Thank you.
Casey, if I can I ask, do you provide, Mr. Moan mentioned it during his presentation, but just for clarity's sake and just to ask the overt question, do you provide services for staff members if they needed individual staff members?
Yes. Okay. We do office-based, telehealth, community-based, and you know it's obviously offered with that level of being discreet. You know, we want to make sure that we separate, you know, the work that we do here and the personal things that go on, so absolutely.
Because we certainly are here to serve students, there's no doubt about that, but mental health is not limited to children.
Right.
And, you know, in the post-pandemic world, you know, the mental health crises that exists is only worsened, and our staff, you know, some of them struggle with things too from time to time, and could benefit from having somebody to talk to and process some things with, maybe get connected to some ongoing services and whatnot. So the fact that that is something that is available as well is important to me. So
we do offer things like staff burnout courses and, you know, seminars and coming out. We will come and talk to the student body about bullying, but then we'll come and talk to the staff about burnout. You know, we're catering things to what is genuinely needed within the school district. So, you know, we can address the entire, you know, student body. We can address all of your faculty and staff as well. And then we come into the classroom and provide that additional support. If there are kiddos in the class with behaviors, we're not only there as an extra pair of hands, but we're there to kind of look and observe from the outside looking in to say, all right, well, let's try some of these things to try and make your day a little bit easier.
Right. So for the members of the board, just so that you understand the model that we are working with right now, Mr. Moan is here on Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, and he is offering the consultation services that he spoke about. The goal is that on Mondays and Tuesdays then, he will be able to be here once the need arises, I think, if that's a fair statement, to offer ongoing services to children who would qualify through Medicaid. One of the things that as this program gets up and running, one of the decision points that we may have at some point in time is whether or not we want to try to increase the availability of services for students, possibly through the acquisition of grant funding. And so, I mean, the board, we could, as a school district, we could opt to pay for ongoing services as well. But I believe there might be some grant funding that might be out there that might be available for us to be able to utilize the services as well. And so that is something that as we move forward, that is something that we want to pursue. So those are things, I mean, we are just in the early stages of this here. We're in the opening weeks. We wanted to kind of start slowly to make sure that we built a product that was quality. I feel like we were in the process of doing that. Mr. Moan, I've worked out with him, obviously, much more than with Mrs. Bish. But Mr. Moen has been absolutely fantastic to work with, and I am confident that our kids are benefiting from the services that we are providing. So, and hopefully our staff will as well. So this is a partnership that I'm very excited about, and I want to thank both of you for being willing to come tonight and speak. Obviously, it's an extra duty. It's an evening function. It takes you away from home. But we certainly do appreciate it. Thank you for everything you're doing for our students here, and hopefully someday real soon our staff. So.
Thank you very much for giving us the opportunity.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Real quick, in addition to like what you're doing here, how else are we educating our parents and guardians of these opportunities that are available?
So we've worked with Meredith to be able to kind of let people know that we're here, that we exist, and that they can enroll their child in services. We also, we work with the family as a whole. So if we, identify that a child, John's going to be here, identifies that a child needs services, we dig a little deeper and then we realize that maybe the family needs services. Mm-hmm. We're going to branch out that direction. We're going to ask that the family enroll in counseling. We're going to provide those holistic, marriage and family systems type services with that entire family.
Cool. I appreciate you guys' time.
Thank you very much.
All right, so now move to Section H, Superintendent Committee Report.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just two committee reports, and actually they're going to be very, very brief. Our academic advisory or district leadership team met yesterday. We discussed direction for next year. It's been part of yesterday's session was part of an ongoing discussion, and we discussed direction with regard to two areas, instruction and then character education. So we are having conversation about what next year will look like, what our focuses will be in those areas, and so making some headway there. Very pleased. It was a very collaborative conversation yesterday. I feel like it was an important conversation and very good. So very pleased with that. And then also, we actually, one of the topics that was requested yesterday for DLT was teacher burnout. And so our staff, it is not just, I want to be absolutely clear, it is not just a Madison Plains phenomenon. Our teachers nationwide in the post-pandemic world, I mean, April and May have always been tough months, but in the post-pandemic world, our educators are really feeling a great degree of stress in terms of trying to teach our nation's students. And our staff at Madison Plains is no different than anywhere else. They are feeling that struggle as well. One person commented that it's not just the teachers who are feeling it. So it is education in America today is challenging, and our teachers are feeling it. So I'm very glad that Ohio Guidestone might be able to offer some help and some support in that arena. At the moment, I don't have a date for our next DLT meeting. We will work to figure that out, and we'll work to communicate that. Unfortunately, the other committee that was supposed to meet was our policy committee. Schedules, unfortunately, did not line up for that, so we will try again in late April or early May. So, Mr. President, that is all I have tonight in terms of committee reports.
Thank you. I'd like to move to Section I, Treasurer's Report.
Mr. Mason, I'll try to be brief. You'll hear more from me next month with 5-year forecast update. So, that's pretty
thanks
quick.
For the warning.
That's right.
I feel myself getting sick.
It'll happen whether you're here or not. All right, the monthly financial report here, we'll just kind of briefly go through the highlights of this. This is for the month ending in March. Currently with the revenue, we have an unfavorable variance just compared to our estimates of $392,000. We have a favorable variance compared to our expenditures of $1.1 million that leaves us with a favorable impact to our cash balance of $746,000 compared to our original estimates. Currently, we are estimating an ending balance for fiscal year 23 and June 30th of $5.9 million. That's in a $1.6 million operating surplus that we carry forward to next year. We are actually higher compared to this time last year with our revenue, even though we are under on the projections as a whole. That in large part is due to our no longer taking advances. We're still seeing that work its way through this year, because last year was very different. We took those tax advances, and now we're no longer doing that. We receive our tax collections twice a year now. So we're no longer counting on advances being available, more hoping that they're available. And then if they ever aren't, when, you know, we would kind of be in a pickle. So we don't do that anymore. We just get them twice a year. We are within, again, that $392,000 has been 2.32% of our forecasted annual revenue. So not far off in the grand scheme of things, and that can still change by the time the year wraps up. Our expenditures, compared to this time last year, our total expenditures are $200,000 higher. That's largely due to salary increases, due to negotiated increases. But our estimates are lower, a lot lower than what we had expected. And let me find that for you. I will highlight that. Current year-to-date expenditures are $1.1 million lower than what we would expect them to be in the forecast. Now that, again, just like the revenue, could change by the time the end of the year comes around. But a large part of that is our, you see there, our regular certified salaries are down $341,000 on the right, as well as our insurance is down. Those are unfilled positions with the district that we're dealing with right now, that we need to fill. We have posted, we've tried to fill. So when we see this big decrease in expenditures, it's not necessarily something we want. It's fortunate from a bottom line position, but we need to be filling those positions. So next, in the forecast update and next year, you know, even if we end with the balance, you'll see a larger increase, I guess is what I'm trying to say. As we fill those positions, you'll see a bigger jump, because we are artificially low right now due to those unfilled positions. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. We won't go into all the positions that we're trying to fill, but just there are multiple positions that we've been, that we've had unfilled this year. So that's it. Again, it affects our bottom line. We have $700,000 to the good, and we should have a $1.6 million carryover at the end of the year at the very least. So next month I'll have the 5-year forecast update, which will try to pull some of that information together. The other item that I have is an amended appropriations request there, and that is for when we received our second payment in for the tax revenue. We were able to see where we ended up with our PI fund, you know, because our permanent improvement fund, we ended up having an available balance of around $137,000 that we could appropriate. So that allows us to get a head start on some of these summer projects and next year projects potentially. But in order to have that be a possibility, we have to appropriate those additional funds. So it doesn't necessarily mean we'll get all this done before the school year ends, but it does give Mr. Garrett and the maintenance department the ability to start looking at some of those areas and seeing what you might be able to fit in before the year ends. So that's what you have there. And that would conclude my treasurer's report then, if nobody has any questions.
Okay. Mr. President, I move that upon recommendation of the treasurer, board approve financial items I-4 and 5.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mr. Stonerock?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschild?
Yes.
Mr. Gensel?
Yes.
Mrs. Enikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Now move to Section J, Superintendent's Report.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a few items for discussion tonight. Just a reminder that we are on the ballot, as has been previously mentioned in the meeting this evening. We are on the ballot on May 2nd for a bond issue to build new buildings. The projected cost of the project is approximately $69 million. We are partnering with the Ohio Facilities Construction Commission, or the OFCC. They will contribute approximately 9% of the cost of the co-funded portion, and that will be approximately $5.5 million. The bond issue that is before the voters for their consideration on May 2nd is for approximately $63 million. That bond issue will cost a homeowner for each $100,000 worth of value or valuation, it will cost them $346 per year or 95 cents per day. The project, the proposed project is to build a pre-K through 12 facility on this campus. It will have different areas for different age groups. And so I think that's something that is important. And so just wanted to remind or say one more time, as this is our last board meeting before the election, that we are on the ballot. So I continue to engage in conversation with a company regarding a potential donation for a stadium project. There is potential for an announcement sometime within the next month or so. So I will work to keep the board updated on that. But just keep in mind, or please know that there is potential for an announcement regarding a donation. Stadium ramp project that is needed for the Ohio Civil Rights, or for the Office of Civil Rights, excuse me, OCR. That project is underway. If it happens to still be daylight before you leave this evening, you might want to go over to the stadium and just check on the progress over there. It'll be good to get that wrapped up. We're looking forward to that. We have received the grant funding for the electric buses. That grant funding has arrived. It is approximately $1.5 million. And that money is currently earmarked, and it will remain earmarked. So that will be in our in the values that Mr. Mustine presents in his financial numbers each month until those buses arrive and we pay for them. But I wanted you to be aware that that money has arrived and we are set and ready to go financially on that. We are working on the other aspects of it. And then finally, the tolls report is available for your review. And just a reminder for anyone who may have RSVP'd, that tolls dinner is this coming week. It is April 26th at 6 o'clock p.m. So, Mr. President, that is all I have in terms of discussion items for this evening.
Thank you. Now I'll move to Section K, Policy and Governance.
Nothing for Policy and Governance this evening.
Section L, Business.
We have two items before the board for your consideration this evening, the first of which is the list of graduates for the class of 2023 from MPHS. The other is some removal of items from inventory.
Mr. President, I make the recommendation, upon the recommendation of the superintendent, the board approved personnel business items, L2 to L3.
Second.
Discussion, roll call please.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschild?
Yes.
Mr. Gensel?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
I move to Section M, Personnel.
Mr. President, just a few relatively routine items. Our special education secretary is going to be retiring towards the beginning of next year. She has agreed to stay on to help us train her replacement. It is a very intricate and detailed job, and so we are appreciative of the fact that she is willing to stay on. She is requesting a modification to her hours to 5 days per week for the month of August. Her retirement will be effective September 1. And so there is a motion before the board for both of those items, the modification of hours for the month of August and then her retirement effective September 1st. We have a math teacher who was issued her resignation, turned it in today. We were expecting that. So that is before the board. We have a substitute bus driver that we would like to have the board. I am requesting that the board approve this evening. We have a supplemental contract nomination error, so we're just looking to get that fixed and then are corrected, and then a few supplemental contracts for consideration with the board this evening.
Thank you.
Mr. President, I make the recommendation that upon the recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve personnel items M2 to M7.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschild?
Yes.
Mr. Stonerod?
Yes.
Mr. Yensel?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
So now move to section D, donations.
Mr. President, we have one donation before the board this evening. We have received today, we received a check from the athletic boosters, a check for $3,000 for the purpose of baseball field improvements.
Mr. President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the following donation, the $3,000 from the athletic boosters.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Stonerod?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Yensel?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschild?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Section O, any new business?
No, sir. Okay.
Now, second, public communication. I don't think there's anybody signed up. So now I move that we go into executive session at
8:02.
To enter into executive session at 8:02 for the purpose of the following items allowed under the Ohio Revised Code 121.22G, Section 1, to consider the employment of a public employee, and Section 6, specialized details of security arrangements.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschild?
Yes.
Mr. Stonerod?
Yes.
Mr. Yensel?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. We're in executive session.
Our next regularly scheduled meeting will be Tuesday, May 16th at 7 p.m. here in the district meeting room. There'll be no action taken after the executive session.